Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about. Talk Radio
Countdown. Hey, I just happened to turn on the radio. Just got back from a walk and heard you talking about Donna Summer. I was sorry to hear of her passing. My experience was when I was 21 years old, I managed a restaurant at 8430 Sunset, which is now House of Blues in L.A., across from the Continental Hyatt. And it was, there were a lot of investors. And one of the major contributors was Neil Bogart, who died in his 40s in a swimming accident. Anyway, Donna Summer was on Casablanca Records label, which was his label, as was George Clinton from Funkadelic and Kiss. Talk about an array of talent. And they would all come into the restaurant. And my comment is that she was always very lovely, very nice person, you know, not aloof, not, you know, I saw it all. And she was very approachable and just a very nice lady. And I'm sorry to hear of her passing. And she worked hard for her money.
That's Lisa, a talk radio caller in Illinois, sharing her memories of Donna Summer, who died of cancer this week. She was only 63. The death of Donna Summer, number 10 this week on our countdown. Doug Steffen here. Welcome into our talk radio review, the countdown show for the week ending Friday, the 18th of May. We're going to go through all top 10 hits in talk radio determined by the staff at talkers.com. And this week, Donna Summer is in the number 10 position. Number 9 on the countdown, the price you're paying for gasoline. Here's host Jim Polito talking to business analyst Lauren Steffi about the recent dip in gas prices and if there's more to come or if they may go back up again.
Can I bet that by 4th of July it won't be that bad, or is this just a fluke?
No, I think we're going to see prices continue to drop a little bit here, probably, you know, towards the end of the month. We may see things start to pick up a little bit as driving increases, but you're not going to see a huge shift over the remainder of the summer. It seems like most of the forces that have been affecting the oil markets have kind of stabilized, and everybody's sort of taking a deep breath at the moment, so that's a good thing for consumers.
Lauren, you just talked about the forces, and, you know, of course, on this show, we discuss every day, oh, no, it's this, it's speculators, it's supply, drill, baby, drill. What are the forces you believe that led to this this stabilization and slight decrease?
Well, I mean, it's really two factors. You know, early in the year, there was a lot of concern about Iran and some of the situations in the Middle East and whether that was going to, you know, have a major impact on supply. Those concerns seem to have eased, at least for now, and so that has a big effect on, you know, people kind of feeling more confident about where things are going. And then the other factor is the European economy, which has gotten much worse than most people expected that it would. We thought the worst was over. Now, you know, we're back to worrying about Greece again and all this stuff. And what that means is that the Europeans are using less gas because they are dealing with their own economic issues, and so they're not consuming as much. And that means there's a little bit more in the global market, which helps keep prices lower.
How are the supplies right now, currently? Are we again dealing with a good supply?
Well, in the U.S., I mean, yeah, we don't really have a problem with supply. Obviously, on the East Coast, most of the refiners get their crude from overseas. And so, you know, that hasn't been a problem at this point. The big issue we deal with supply in the United States is the oil that's coming out of places like North Dakota, where there's no good way to get it to the biggest refineries in the country. And that's why you hear all this talk about the Keystone Pipeline. There's talk of building other pipelines in the Midwest. We're kind of getting the oil to there's a major hub in Cushing, Oklahoma, and all the oil is sort of piling up there. And if we could find a way to get that to refineries, we might actually see the prices, at least in some parts of the country, we might see prices decline even a little more at the pump.
Lauren, that pipeline has been a political fodder. And I noticed that we have these plans presented to circumvent the president stopping the pipeline. And did that contribute? Because you mentioned some other factors. Yeah, the Europeans aren't using as much. The Middle East has calmed down a little bit. That's quieting fears. Was there optimism that maybe the pipeline will go through?
Well, I think pipelines are going to go through one way or another. Now, whether the Keystone pipeline gets built or not, you know, what the fight is over the permit to allow them to build it across the border. And, you know, once they get that permit, there's still no guarantee they actually build the pipeline. There's a lot of other pipelines that are already in the ground that run south and north, if you will. And there's what we're starting to see is more companies reverting those flows and sending the oil the other direction. So we may see other companies step in and meet that demand before the Keystone Pipeline even gets built.
Up next, the latest on the Martin Zimmerman case, Facebook's IPO, and the financial crisis in Greece. We'll talk about all of them next here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
And now another Cintas Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm here at a manufacturing firm in Chapel Hill. With me is Bob, the GM. Bob, your company ships product nationwide. But talk about the home office's new game plan.
Well, we had 10 years of old paperwork piled up here. It was a mess, a security risk, and my dog used to bury bones in the piles. We needed a game changer.
And now I see Cintas trucks shredding all those files. They're known for uniforms. Tell me about their shredding playbook.
They're the best. They have trucks across the country shredding tons of documents every day, and every scrap of paper gets recycled.
That sounds like a winning move. With Cintas trucks here weekly, they're happy they won't spend hours shredding documents themselves. Let's go to the booth.
Document shredding is just one of the many expert services Cintas can tackle for your business. Don't waste time or take risks with confidential papers. Call Cintas at 1-800-CINTAS-6 or visit Cintas.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team with the white truck.
I believe I can do anything. So when it came to learning a new language, I knew I had to do it the way I learn. No books, no memorizing or translating. I wanted to learn the same way I learned my first language, naturally. That's why I chose Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. To participate in this free nationwide event, just call 1-800-507-5898.
Si yo puedo hacerlo, usted puede hacerlo. If I can do it, you can do it.
To participate in this free nationwide event, call now for your free demo from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-507-5898. That's 1-800-507-5898.
Are you struggling each month to make ends meet? Could an extra $1,000 help you out today? Would restructuring your credit card debt into a lower, more manageable payment make life easier? Well, there is hope. A national consumer advocacy network comprised of lenders and professional credit advisors is ready to help you. Just text the word FREE to 20300 for instant information on programs that can help you. Text the word FREE to 20300 right now. Message and data rates may apply.
Grandpa! Hey, Gary! What appearance? Sit down on the porch with me.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm gonna have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
Talk radio in review, and at number 8 on the countdown, the Martin Zimmerman case in Florida. Here's host Bill Carroll talking about the medical evidence that's been released this week and why he thinks it's pretty much irrelevant.
Unlike every other story, this one didn't start with right and left. This one actually started with right and wrong. And every media outlet kind of reported like, ooh, this looks bad. Wonder what happened there. Shouldn't there at least have been charges laid? We need to investigate this. That's how it started. Now it's, you look at the headline today, perfect example. We've got this so-called new information that is actually not new at all, and it's almost completely irrelevant to help you make up your mind if you haven't made up your mind already. It doesn't really tell us anything we didn't already know. But you look at the typical conservative media outlets are spinning it one way, the liberal media outlets are spinning it the other way. Whether you've made up, and initially actually nobody was defending George Zimmerman. You notice that? Nobody. Then kind of it split, and people say, oh, wait a second, he's being railroaded. Maybe he was defending himself that day. Maybe. Kind of defies most common sense to think that a guy who's on the phone with 911 pursuing somebody else and gets out of the car, then suddenly he becomes the victim. But it's possible. And I always said, I guess it's possible. The new evidence that's coming out today, basically this is just part of the evidence that we're going to see released in the weeks and months to come before the trial. Mostly it's medical records. And what some say it shows is, according to these new court documents, George Zimmerman had a pair of black eyes, a nose fracture, and 2 cuts on the back of his head. Well, that might be true. Although, at least one lawyer for the Trayvon Martin family is saying, why did the guy go to an emergency room? Why did he go to a family doctor on this? How do we know this is even true? But the way it's being spun mostly now is, because everyone is now taking sides mostly in favor of George Zimmerman, which is just bizarre to me. But this shows that Trayvon Martin must have attacked him. He's got 2 black eyes and a fractured nose. Actually, one good bump in the nose will usually blacken both eyes. And then, if you fall, you can hurt your head. It could all be part of one good blow. It doesn't... But how does this tell us who started the physical confrontation? How does that wound or injury? Listen, it's a little more helpful for the defense that if they say he was attacked and there's not a mark on him, it's harder to prove, although he still could have been attacked. This doesn't, in the big picture, this does nothing for me.
Up to number seven on our countdown, the Facebook IPO. Here's host Jimmy Barra talking to CNBC's Kayla Tausch about the small number of people who will actually be getting rich as Facebook goes public.
Who stands to get rich right in the beginning from just by having the stock available to the public?
Well, there are certainly a lot of early investors who were behind Facebook from the very beginning. A couple of venture capital firms, Excel Partners and Greylock Partners, as well as Reid Hoffman, who's one of the founders of LinkedIn. There are a handful of individuals that were part of Facebook's early days, and they are selling shares as part of this offering, and no doubt acquired them at a much, much lower level. A lot of other investors have acquired shares in the private markets, and they could also see a pop on day one in which they could see some positive reaction for their shares. But as far as who's really going to benefit, Mark Zuckerberg, his stake is worth $19 billion. Sheryl Sandberg, the COO, who's been quite a public face of the company, will be the second richest self-made woman in the world. So that's quite a feat.
Now, do we expect any of those initial investors to cash in at this point, or are they just going to hang on to the stock?
You know, about half of the offering is from early investors who are putting their shares out to pasture. So about 337 million shares are going to be offered in the deal that will start trading on Friday after the final price is announced Thursday evening. Roughly half of those are brand new shares that Facebook is printing for the deal that have never been held by anyone else. And then half of those are from earlier investors in the company. Certainly, you know, an eight-year-old company that's had a lot of investor interest for, you know, several years. It's had a lot of investors in this already.
Number six on the countdown, the situation in Greece. Host Kevin Meeks and Clay Young talked to a financial analyst named Phil Itner about the problems in Greece and the effect that this will have on our economy.
Phil, all of this debt talk in Greece and across Europe there, is that going to have an impact on us at all here?
Well, it's definitely a possibility that it could. I mean, obviously, a huge trading block in an economic zone like the Eurozone going into such a serious crisis could have global ramifications, and that includes, of course, the United States.
So then, what's the status of everything there now?
Confused and troubled, in a short answer. The long answer is basically this. Greece finds itself in a situation where, in reaction to the heavy debts that they have and the really austere measures that are being placed upon that country, they had an election at the beginning of this month and some very extreme political views brought into power. Nobody could find an accommodation, so no coalition government was formed. That means they got to go back to the polls in another round of voting. Now, if they do vote in some of these more extreme political parties, there's a serious threat that they're just going to default on all those massive debts that they have that they owe to their neighbors and fellow European partners. If that happens, we're talking about $250 billion suddenly just being defaulted on, and that would affect the rest of the Eurozone and drive some of the more safe economic countries into some real trouble. This whole thing could spiral. There could be a domino effect, and Europe could find itself in a deep situation.
That's what I'm saying, Phil. Certainly there'd be a ripple effect from something that major, right? There'd have to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously one looks to Italy and Spain, Portugal, Ireland, some of these countries that have had a lot of problems and find themselves deep in debt. But a number that high, you might even find Germany or France in serious economic trouble because of this. And that's what a lot of people are looking at Greece and saying, I don't care who you vote in, it doesn't matter. You owe us that money and you're going to pay it.
Ah, yeah, a little scandal is good for the soul. So up next, the John Edwards trial and the gay marriage debate. Big topics this week on the Talk Radio Review.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm down in the main ballroom of a four-star hotel in Austin with Tom, the GM. Tom, you've had four wedding receptions in 3 days. That's a brutal schedule.
Yeah, we've been hustling.
Well, your team still looks fresh, and I gotta say, the carpet does too. Talk about your game plan.
Simple. We called in the all-star team from CentOS, and they changed our ground game completely.
Cintas. They're known for uniforms. How do they tackle your floors?
Their tile and carpet deep cleaning service makes our flooring look like new. With our old playbook, we used to rip out the carpet. So we're running with Cintas from now on.
Thanks, Tom. And thanks to Cintas, there's plenty of life left in this dance floor. Let's go up to the booth.
Tile and carpet cleaning is one of the many expert services the Cintas team can tackle for your business. Don't replace your tile or carpets. Call 1-800-CINTAS6 or visit Cintas.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team with the white truck.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
Counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Let's keep going here at number five on the countdown. That trial, John Edwards, former presidential candidate, senator, etc., talk host Bill Radke with CBS News' Jim Krasula about the defense decision to keep Edwards off the stand.
Prosecutors, of course, say that John Edwards, the former presidential candidate, used campaign funds in an effort to hide his mistress, Riel Hunter, from the media. The defense says, yes, Edwards got nearly $1 million from two rich admirers, but that was a gift and not used for purposes of campaigning. CBS reporter Jim Krasula has been our eye in the courtroom throughout the trial, and he says the judge has only given each side 2 hours today to wrap up their cases.
I suspect what we're going to hear from these attorneys, first off from the prosecution, they will make the case that John Edwards knowingly violated federal campaign finance laws by misusing nearly $1 million from two wealthy donors and basically taking that money and using it to hide his affair with Riel Hunter while he was running for president in 2008. Conversely, from the defense, I think we'll hear that not a word of that is true.
The defense only took 2 days of this month-long trial, and of course, there was this speculation, are they going to put John Edwards himself on the stand? And the defense did not do that.
People took that as a sign that the defense is obviously very confident of its case. Why did they not have John Edwards testify? I suspect in the end, defense lawyers felt that it wasn't worth the risk, that Edwards could probably do more harm than good appearing before that jury, because you'd have to think that the prosecution would really, really go after Edwards and paint him in a worse light than he's already been painted in, both in that courtroom and across the nation in the court of public opinion.
Number four on the countdown, the debate over gay marriage. Here's House Jerry Jamison with Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina about how the president's announced support of gay marriage is hurting his campaign.
President Obama last week, of course, coming out in support of same-sex marriage. Some are saying that's hurting him here in North Carolina, and that's what went blue for the presidency in 2008 is going to go back red. Do you think, I know you thought it was going to go red anyway, but do you think that that stance is hurting him?
Well, I think the president's position has hurt himself in North Carolina, Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, probably in Michigan, Iowa, maybe Missouri. I think that this is inconsistent with what people in those states certainly believe should be the definition of marriage. And that's not to say that any state couldn't have other accommodations for couples. But I think we're already beginning to see it in the numbers. This week, a poll in North Carolina, Romney 51, the president 43, 18% of the Democrats in North Carolina have already said, I'm not going to support the president for reelection. It's trends like that that can be devastating to a candidate and to a campaign. I think what we're going to see is we're going to see more of that as you get to what has up to this point been described as the battleground states. And you might recognize that all the states I mentioned, with the exception of Michigan, are considered battleground states in this presidential election. So I would expect this White House to retool their theme for what they're going to run on in the fall. And I'm not sure today what that's going to be, but I don't think it's going to be on same-sex marriage. I don't think it's going to be on class warfare. It can't be on national defense. All of a sudden, they're whittling down to a very small basket of items they might run on. And I think the American people have expressed what their concern is. It's about the economy and jobs.
Gay marriage, number four on the countdown. Let's recap now. The death of Donna Summer is 10. Gas prices going down, number 9. The Martin Zimmerman case, number 8. Facebook IPO, number 7. Financial situation in Greece is 6. Number 5, the Edwards trial. And the debate over gay marriage is number 4. So, as you can figure, we're going to be back with numbers 3, 2, and 1 next up on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Important medical alert for users of antidepressant prescription drugs. If you or a loved one used certain antidepressant prescription drugs before or during pregnancy, including Zoloft, Depakote, Paxil, Prozac, Wellbutrin, Lexapro, Celexa, or Effexor, and have a child born with a birth defect such as cleft lip, cleft palate, club foot, or other heart, lung, and cranial defects, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation and future medical expenses for your child's condition. Call 800-457-1584 now. If you or a loved one used certain antidepressant prescription drugs before or during pregnancy and have a child born with a birth defect, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-457-1584. That's 800-457-1584. The call and consultation are free. 800-457-1584.
This is an advertisement, not valid in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. iLawsuit.com is an advertising group that represents lawyers advertising their services and is a free matching service for consumers. It is not a law firm or lawyer referral service.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush us aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
We're halfway through this hour. Talk Radio Show for the week ending Friday, the 18th of May. Number three in the countdown, the multi-billion dollar loss at J.P. Morgan Chase. CNN's Aaron Burnett talked to Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee about the investigation he wants launched right away.
What do you want to find out?
Well, I mean, this is an interesting point in time. Rules are being promulgated right now that affect all of these things. And the question is, under current laws that have been passed, if they're fully in place, was this, in fact, a proprietary trade or not, which is something we don't want to see happening in these institutions, or was this really a legitimate hedge that would take place within an institution? We've been getting a lot of, this has evolved. We had a lot of conversations this weekend with the examiner in charge at the OCC that oversees J.P. Morgan, and we got one piece of input. That's evolved. They sort of walked back away from that, and I guess at the end of the day, this is very complex. This is certainly no threat whatsoever to J.P. Morgan as far as it being
relative to their
assets. You know, this is 2 months' worth of earnings to them. But the issue is there are a lot of rules that are being created right now. And whenever you have especially something this high profile, it's going to affect the outcome of what's actually happening right now in Washington.
But you're saying, looking at the top accountants and auditors who are looking at this right now, they still are not able to determine whether it was proprietary, i.e. should not be happening under the new rules, or legitimate.
And those rules aren't in effect yet. The question is, what's really happened here, and do we have laws that affect what's been happening? There's some very specific language in the Volcker Rule that talks about hedging, and it talks about aggregate, it talks about unique trades, and the fact is nobody yet has been able to determine whether this is something that could stay in place or not.
So, but with J.P. Morgan itself, I mean, is it possible you could do something about the bank? I mean, you talk about it being small for that bank, and it is, and some people say, oh, well, that's a sign that the system is strong. But then you could look at it and say, well, why is that bank so big? It's 45% bigger in terms of assets, $2.3 trillion in assets, 15% of the U.S. economy, J.P. Morgan, and it's 45% bigger now than it was right before the financial crisis, just to be clear.
Yeah.
I mean, is that
That is a whole different issue. And, there was resolution language that I actually spent a lot of time on myself that, you know, you create the opportunity to wind, you have the ability to wind down an institution that fails. But, again, that's a whole separate issue.
But you could make the argument it isn't, because you could say, well, if it were smaller, Jamie Dimon would have known what was going on as opposed to me not knowing.
So here's the question. Under Volcker, is this something that is legitimate after Volcker is fully implemented? A lot of people are saying yes. Secondly, there are people who say that this couldn't have happened if you had the Glass-Steagall regime in place. The OCC has categorically said that's not true. This could have still occurred. And if you downsize the institutions, this kind of trade could still occur. So I think what we need to do is understand, you know, how this occurred. It was all on the banking side, not on the investment bank side. And do we have policies that appropriately deal with this?
Here's Radio Man David Patterson talking to analyst Nicole Gelinas about an article she wrote for the New York Post. The subject, impact that banks like J.P. Morgan Chase have on the economy.
Tell us basically the premise so our listeners can hear what it's about, and then we'll get into some of the details.
Well, the short story is these big banks, you know, J.P. Morgan, Goldman, Morgan Stanley, and the rest, they're under tremendous pressures to shrink, both from the free market, that banking just got way too big during the bubble, it has to get smaller, and from regulators. And some of the regulations are good, some are bad, but most would have the effect of shrinking the banks. And so the bank shareholders are saying, on the other hand, no, 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 we can't take lower profits. We're taking a ridiculous amount of risk in being shareholders to your bank, and so we want high profits. And so the banker's kind of motivation is just to take more and more and more risk and kind of try for these Hail Mary passes to make these high profits. And so the surprise announcement coming from J.P. Morgan, probably not an aberration. We can see more of that, which means Wall Street profits will be smaller, but also more volatile.
Now, Nicole, I don't know how much of a sports fan you are, but I think the sports analogy is totally in order. And actually, if I could even add to it, there is no organization probably more guilty of this than the New York Knicks. Because the New York Knicks played at Madison Square Garden. That's the mecca of all activity. There was more and more pressure on them to succeed after, you know, the heralded teams that they had in the 70s and even with Patrick Ewing in the 90s. And they just kept going out and taking risks with a large amounts of money, and they just killed themselves. And they may have done it again, spending $100 million on Amari Stoudemire, who was very effective at smashing his hand over a fire extinguisher, but not particularly in the series that against the Miami Heat. So my point is that quite often in this situation where your revenues are going to be measured by how much support you're going to get, and in one case it's sports, but in the other case it's the market, you have this situation where we're asking the institution to perform higher and higher and higher, and every time they perform high for any few years, we see that as the floor rather than the ceiling.
Up to number two now in the countdown, the battle over the budget. And that'll be next, to raise the dead or not, here on the countdown.
Look, it's Lord Horsey.
They say he has instant access to a wealth of entertainment, a most appropriate suitor.
He is of Netflix. Lavishes $8 a month on thousands of TV episodes and movies.
I heard he watches them over the internet.
Pish posh, it's the 1700s. Internet doesn't exist yet.
Oh, do hush, child.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Hey everyone, I'm Maxwell, and my life is kind of awesome because whenever Geico wants to talk about their new mobile app, they're like, hey Maxwell, you feel like coming to the studio and talking about how the app lets you manage your policy, you know, and get roadside help and even customize it with your favorite Geico character? And I'm like, maybe. Are there going to be snacks?
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
As Americans, we must never turn our backs to the men and women serving in our armed forces. We at the Purple Heart know firsthand that there is more to war than bombs and bullets. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation has combat wounded Purple Heart recipients are truly veterans helping veterans, their families, and the community. Through your support and donations, the Purple Heart Service Foundation can provide programs that assist our veterans, their widows, and orphans. You can donate vehicles and other household items so the Purple Heart Service Foundation can assist combat wounded and
and disabled veterans and their families. Call today at 800-293-1343. Your tax-deductible donation also supports programs that help our soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. That's 800-293-1343 or purpleheartcars.org. Show your pride in America. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation is leading the way for disabled veterans and their families. Call 1-800-293-1343 or purpleheartcars.org.
I believe I can do anything. So when it came to learning a new language, I knew I had to do it the way I learn. No books, no memorizing or translating. I wanted to learn the same way I learned my first language, naturally. That's why I chose Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. To participate in this free nationwide event, just call 1-800-507-5898.
Si yo puedo hacerlo, usted puede hacerlo. If I can do it, you can do it.
To participate in this free nationwide event, call now for your free demo from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-507-5898. That's 1-800-507-5898.
Grandpa!
Hey, Gary! What appearance.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm going to have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
Number two, the situation on the budget side of things. From Fox, Greta Van Susteren talked to Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels about the problems with entitlements, which he said are the main issue keeping Congress from moving forward with a new budget.
What is it that we could do with those entitlements? I realize it's a vast topic and probably is worthy of, you know, 10 hours of discussion. But is there something that could at least jumpstart us so that we'd feel good about ourselves, we get a big jump on the economy, and get a grip on what's happening to our growing debt?
It could take 10 hours, but I think I can name that tune in well under a minute, Greta. First of all, if we would even begin to address it, it would make a dramatic positive difference for jobs and growth in this country. If the world, which really wants to keep financing the United States, they don't have a better alternative. The world even saw us start down the path of reconciling our long-term commitments and our means. They would reward that with, I think, new investment and lower interest rates on a long-term basis. And how to do it? A lot of ways. My suggestion is, first of all, means test the programs, concentrate the money on low-income people who really need it. Secondly, we should clearly stop over-indexing the programs, protect people against the cost of living, but not necessarily more, and raise the retirement age very gradually to something that lines up with today's actuarial realities. All those things only to start in a few years. You say to people in the program today, you're good to go. Nothing's going to change for you. But help us make sure that younger people have something waiting for them, too.
All right. In terms of cutting entitlements, I mean, that's always the lower income. I'm talking about Social Security, which people don't call entitlements. Law. They say they paid into it. They deserve it. But entitlements for the very poor who might be really discouraged or don't have jobs, no future opportunity. Do you see a necessity to focus on them as well to rev up the economy? And how would you get them inspired and going and having opportunity?
We should go to a full-throated growth policy in this country, specifically in the interest of those who are jobless or underemployed today, and those young people coming up, that enormous number of young people coming out of college even without a job, and so many of them living at home. And that means things like lower, flatter tax rates. Every economist I know across the spectrum agrees that taking out so many of the preferences and special exceptions in the bookshelves of tax code we have would be positive for growth and jobs. Absolutely maximizing this great new energy opportunity which American ingenuity has created for us. I'm talking about natural gas and oil sands and
all the new means of extraction. We can be the energy producer for the world after a couple generations when we were sending billions of hard-earned dollars overseas for to meet our energy needs.
Talk host Dan Mason here with a focus on Speaker Boehner's comments. Boehner said Congress is hiding behind the lame duck escape hatch and refuses to deal with the budget and the debt problems.
John Boehner basically saying what I've been saying and what a lot of people have been saying. Rising debt is a large part of what is screwing up our economic recovery. Says the Congress is not going to hide behind the lame duck escape hatch when it comes to the debt problem. There's a fiscal summit being held in Washington, D.C., and Congressman Boehner says he is ready to get it on.
Any sudden tax hike would hurt our economy. So this fall, before the election, the House of Representatives will vote to stop the largest tax increase in American history. Allowing America to default on its debt would be irresponsible. But it would be more irresponsible to raise the debt ceiling without taking dramatic steps to reduce spending and reform the budget process.
No, those are new quotes. Those aren't from last summer, although they might have been. We could pull them up and we'd hear the same thing. So the question for all of us is, are we just going to keep continuing down the same path we've been going down? If this administration in Washington has their way, the answer to that is yes. John Boehner and the Republicans want to cut and reform. They want cuts and reforms that are greater than the debt limit increase that is being asked for. Well, we're being told once again we have to have it. The good faith and credit of the United States. And all that. I'd like cuts and reforms greater than what the debt limit increase is going to be. I know most of you listening want that. Heck, anybody with any fiscal sense wants that. Yet here we are, still listening to the same arguments over and over and over again. Here is some more from Congressman Boehner.
When the time comes, I will again insist on my simple principle of cuts and reforms greater than the debt limit increase.
Well, there you go. He's throwing down the gauntlet. He hasn't changed his mind a lick since last summer. And you know what happened last summer? The debate went on and on, the bickering went on and on and on, and finally, they reached a compromise. That compromise involved mandatory cuts. Mandatory cuts that, as we heard last week from Leon Panetta, the defense secretary, and others, including some on the Republican side, they're now trying to avoid the Defense Department portion of those cuts. They think they're going to be bad. All of which happened, of course, because the Simpson-Bowles Commission, created by our president, they came up with some good ideas. They weren't anywhere near enough, in most people's opinion, but the president wouldn't go for it. His own commission. Now, that pretty much tells you it was a sham to begin with. But I guess we're getting used to that sort of thing from Washington, D.C.
Host Mitch Henk talking about the budget battle, which is shaping up to be a repeat of the same situation from last summer.
Now we have a repeat of the standoff we had last summer on the debt ceiling. We've got John Boehner going before the microphone saying we will not raise the debt ceiling late this year. Already it's starting, and it fits right into the election campaign, without spending cuts. To match, what do we have to raise the debt ceiling to? The debt is now $15.7 trillion. It's gone up by $5 trillion since the administration began. We've got Jay Carney saying they're hostage takers. Remember the hostage takers thing? White House spokesman saying we cannot be held hostage by one part of one party, meaning the Tea Party. We start with John Boehner at the Peterson Fiscal Summit that he wants lawmakers to meet now about solving the nation's debt problem. Same day yesterday, Mitt Romney out there on the stump calling it a prairie fire of debt. We have to do something about it. Now, the Republicans are saying that the polling suggests that people are concerned about the debt. Well, we'll find out. The speaker also says he's not budging on raising the debt limit.
Allowing the debt ceiling to go up without addressing our fiscal challenge would be the most irresponsible thing that I could do. Now, previous Congresses have encountered lesser precipices with lower stakes and made a beeline for the closest lame duck escape hatch. Now, let me put your mind at ease. This Congress will not follow that path if I have anything to do with it.
Okay, here we go again. Maybe they're going to play golf again. Well, Boehner talks about why he's not agreeing to raise the debt limit later this year because he wants Congress to talk about other solutions to cut the spending.
Number one this week on the countdown, and pretty much every week, the presidential race. Next up on the countdown.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own healthcare decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm here at my favorite car rental in sunny Miami. With me is the manager, Beth. I see your team has a new look for the season.
Yeah, they just got uniforms, and my female employees are especially excited about the great styles. This flat out wasn't an option when men's uniforms were the only choice.
Well, it seems these young ladies are really hustling out here. What made the change for you?
Yeah, well, our playbook hinged on one big detail: women's workwear by CentOS. These clothes are designed by women for women. When they look good, they're happier, and our guests notice.
Well, judging by their extra effort, this team is going to the next level with CentOS uniforms. Let's go up to the booth for more.
Finally, a line of women's workwear they want to wear. This is one of many expert services CentOS can tackle for your business. Don't settle for less. Call CentOS at 1-800-CINTAS-6 or visit CentOS.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team with the white truck.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Let's get to the top of the pile here. Number one on the countdown, the 2012 presidential race. Here's former Missouri Senator Jim Talent talking to host Mark Reardon about the recent attacks being launched against Mitt Romney.
The back and forth is starting, although Governor Romney's message has been pretty consistent. You know, it's that the president's failed policies have hurt the economy and also are pushing us towards bankruptcy. We're talking a lot about that now. So, I mean, he's been pretty consistent, but you know, the White House is attacking on a number of fronts.
What did you think in this Bain Capital ad? And it's going to, you're going to see a lot of this stuff between now and November. Do you think it's an unfair ad?
Oh, yeah, I really do. I mean, even by typical political standards, because, I mean, the short answer to it is that it attacks Romney for a decision that was made several years after he left Bain Capital and had nothing to do with it. So, I mean, even by, you know, political standards, it's particularly unfair, and the attack has been, you know, labeled as unfair by a lot of neutral third-party people. So, I mean, it's there's a short answer to it, which is that Romney had nothing to do with it. And in any event, as heartbreaking as, you know, as layoffs are, firms like Bain Capital take over companies that are really distressed. And, you know, they save a lot of them, but they can't save them all. It's like a doctor who deals especially with sick patients. I mean, you're not going to save everybody. That doesn't mean that the company's at fault. It just means that, you know, they're doing the best they can and saving some.
This is one of those things, though, that the Obama camp is going to know. It's going to play well with the voters because it's simplifying the issue. It's demagoguing it. It's not going to explain it very well. But voters may say, hey, wait a second, that's not very nice. So it may work.
Well, of course, that's what the White House is hoping. I don't underestimate voters in that way. I mean, they're going to compare Governor Romney's record, both in office and in private life, of job creation and doing it, you know, good through the private sector, creating good, solid growing companies and private sector jobs and compare that with the president's failed policies. And they fail on his own terms. I mean, he's the one who said that unemployment by now would be under 6%, and it's still above 8%. And as you know, Mark, the actual unemployment situation is much worse than the numbers indicate, because so many people aren't counted as unemployed anymore because they just quit looking for work. They're just too discouraged.
Now, some talk radio callers and their focus on this bullying incident goes back to Mitt Romney's high school days.
As far as the story about Mitt Romney, I give it absolutely no credibility. And I went to a military school, and I was hazed as a freshman as a result. I joined the swim team. I lifted weights. I became a wrestler. And I couldn't play football because we had a second string guy that was at the school named Jack Ham. So in other words, we had a rather exceptional football team for a high school. But the point is that it's hazing. It is not bullying. And what hazing does is it inspires people. I used to have C's, and when I got into school, I was an A and B student. In other words, it's what makes people better. It's part of the whole private school manure, if you want to. In other words, they inspire people to be better, and they inspire people to not do things that are detrimental to their character and detrimental to their furthering of their education.
You know, it reminds me of the John Kerry situation with the Swift boat controversy, how, you know, the opposition will get into his path, the candidate's path, and try to bring up dirt. I mean, I personally am not for Romney, but I mean, it's like, let's play fair, you know. I mean, are these things that really are going to matter to a present-day individual these many, many years later? The same with Kerry. I mean, the guy had his disagreements with Vietnam and what happened over there, and the opposition took advantage of that, got people from the actual time period who were involved. Same thing now with Romney. The guy was in high school. You know, he's changed. He's a completely different person now. He's not the 17, 18-year-old kid running for president. He's a multimillionaire adult. Doesn't matter.
My comments on Mitt Romney and this situation that took place during his high school years, I believe that this speaks eons to his character, and I think the thing that you have to look at as well as the effect that this incident had on the young man who was victimized by Romney. And if the answer is yes, he could have suffered from the trauma of it and the pain and the just the viciousness of the incident, if it did take place, then you have your answer.
So let's recap. Presidential race, the most talked about topic on talk radio. At number two, the battle over the budget. Number three, the multi-billion-dollar loss at J.P. Morgan Chase. Number four, the gay marriage debate. Number five, the John Edwards trial. Number six is the financial situation in Greece. Facebook IPO, number seven. The Martin Zimmerman case, number eight. Number nine are the prices you're paying for gasoline. And number 10, the passing of Donna Summer. And that's it for this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show.